Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. Crossland, Corsa and Mokka. Three good reasons to visit the Opel Open Road event.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Pressure to be cheerful at family gatherings and celebrations can really heighten feelings of grief and loss at this time of year. Events that were once happy occasions can make someone's absence even more noticeable. Well, the former Justice Minister and Fine Gael TD, Nora Owen, lost her husband just over a year ago, and she joins me on the line now to talk about how she has been coping since then. Nora, good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire, and hello to all the other people around the country who are also facing first anniversaries during 2021.
Yes, and that's why we wanted to talk to you about this, because we know that sadly Brian died just about a year ago. And dealing with all of this, particularly at such a strange time, COVID lockdowns and so on, it must have been a difficult year.
It was. I'd say it was a different kind of year than most people have experienced, before the pandemic, because, of course, 2020 was a year when, particularly if you had somebody in a nursing home, visits were all curtailed. So the loss started really back last March when visits had to be stopped if you had somebody in a nursing home. But then if people got COVID and they ended up in hospital. Now, my Brian didn't get COVID, for which I am very grateful. And I just say to all the people who are cross and angry about what's happening, about flights and everything, there are lots of people who wish they had that problem now because their loved one has died of COVID. Mm-hmm. But it's been a difficult year. But you know, Claire, there are moments when I feel a sense, it sounds cruel, a sense of relief that Brian isn't, his quality of life had gone down. He wasn't able to walk, he wasn't talking, and the eating was getting difficult. And I just at times feel grateful that he isn't lying in a bed suffering and not really knowing what's going on.
Because
kind of helps you a bit.
I suppose, because it can be very difficult to look at someone's decline.
Yes, it can. I mean, Brian's decline started, he had dementia for 14 years. He stayed at home with me here for 12 of those years. And then 2 years before he died, he went into a wonderful nursing home, New Park. And he was happy there. And I say to people who have loved ones in nursing homes, just remember that in the nursing home, the people there are their family. Even if you can't get in, there's young men and women and not so young men and women looking after them, because I used to see Brian smiling at them and having a little giggle with them, and they said he'd pass them by and he'd blow kisses at them. Mm-hmm. You know, his dementia was bad, but he was happy there, and that helped me to kind of cope with it. And then when he died on the 27th of November, I was kind of ready for it. We knew he was gone downhill, and it was the middle of the night, and we went out to see him.
Yes, and you were talking to Niamh Horan at Sunday Independent about this last week, and I think that's really important that you were able to get in, you and your family, and be with Brian. So many people haven't had that opportunity. Do you see how important it was for you?
Oh, I do. And we were, if you call it fortunate, that the time Brian died, there was a bit of a lift. And Rita, the head person in the nursing home, said, you can come in only one at a time and you put the full PPE gear on. But I was able to sit at the side of Brian's bed, and he was a great Yawl man. And he absolutely loved everything about Yawl. So I had two little books about Yawl in the bedside drawer. And I would sit, he couldn't really communicate, but I would sit and read bits about it and talk about our family holidays in Yawl. And they say that the hearing is there, and that I was hoping he was getting some pleasure out of hearing about his old hometown. And then he died. I was with him up to about 4 o'clock on the day he died. And then in the middle of the night, the phone rang, and my three sons and myself, we went out and we sat around the bed, and we said a little prayer and we said our goodbyes. And then I left at that stage and didn't see him till he was laid out then. Mm-hmm. And because he didn't have COVID, we were able to have him laid out in Kerwin's in Fairview and see him dressed in his nice suit and everything. And, you know, there are things that help you to to get through this, family were able to come and they were remembering stories, and Kerwin's very kindly put on music so that there were the tunes that Brian liked. You know, he was a great When You Were Sweet 16, and he was a great Al Jolson fan, and maybe not that's okay. the thing to say, but he was a lovely singer and he enjoyed his few years in the choir, the Forget-Me-Nots choir.
And listen, nothing can prepare you for grief.
No, nothing can. You. I think I'm very practical, and the first thing, sadly, when somebody dies, is that there are a lot of practical things that have to be done. A funeral has to be planned. Then you have to start looking at all the things like pension and PPS numbers. And I mean, it's a funny thing happened. I got a letter from Post and Telegraph telling me I had no TV license, and then I realised, of course, that it had been in Brian's name, and they were going to prosecute me if I didn't get a TV.
All of these practical things you have to deal with.
All these practical things have to be dealt with, and then there's all the long days when, you know, you're looking at his clothes, you're looking at the shoes, you're looking at his favourite books, you're looking at various things, and it's hard to start working into those kind of things, you know, to say there's no point in somebody else might get some use out of, mm-hmm. you know, the suits or the shirts or the shoes, and you have to start looking at that. So there are very down days, and luckily I have family very close, my two sons and their wonderful wives, and my grandchildren live very near me. So They kept me going. But you see, remember, all through early 21, there was kind of semi-lockdowns as well. January and February were very difficult months. So you were kind of more or less stuck on your own, except for good neighbours who might drop something in, or delivering shops delivering your messages.
Yes.
And you did that. But I used to comfort myself, Claire, by sometimes just getting in the car on my own, take my book and go down and sit on the coast in Malahide, which is a lovely spot and wonderful views of Lambay Island and Ireland's Eye and the sea. And that's very comforting, and I would recommend it to anybody if there's somewhere in nature that you can go and sit quietly and have a little cry if that's what you want to do, but just enjoy the beauty of nature like that. I loved a rough sea. I particularly liked a rough sea, and you could kind of watch the waves, and it distracted your mind from some of the sad thoughts.
Well, I'm sure Professor Ian Robertson, who was here yesterday talking about living in the moment, would approve of that activity, Nora. As the year progresses, then, you get time, don't you, to reflect on your life, and you get time to process your memories and your feelings about that person.
You do, yes.
And you spoke in the paper about how important he was for you when you were very, very busy in your political life.
Yes, I mean, Brian was a terrific housekeeper. I mean, long before it became kind of the thing for men to do, he was a terrific do-it-yourself person, and I really missed that when as the dementia took hold, because, you know, I had to learn to do the kind of usual thing. Well, I kind of knew how to change plugs and things, but Brian was hugely practical, and he did the garden, and he painted very, very good pictures, and you just begin to realize that's gone. And I woke up quite a lot early on, you know, at about 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't know why. He died at about 1 in the morning, so I suspect there was some kind of mental thing that was going on. And you'd wake up at 2 o'clock, you'd read a bit, then maybe you'd put on the radio in your ear to try and distract yourself until you fell back asleep again. And so there were those kind of days, but there were also days when I thought about all he had done with the children. He was the kind of homework man, and he was the reading the bed stories at night and things like that. And he taught the children lots. My sons now are all pretty practical now, having watched their father with drills and and all sorts of things for years. I still have a collection of tools in my garage, and the lads ring me up and say, by any chance, did Dad have an electric saw, or did he have this or that? And there was usually one sitting on the shelf. So they still are very much part of my life, and very much remembering their father, you know, because remember, I'm grieving, but so are your children and your sisters and brothers, you know. Yes. Brian was the last of his family, so he didn't have direct brothers and sisters, but he had wonderful cousins who keep in touch all the time as well.
People,
so you kind of get sort of ways of getting through it.
Yeah, and people say that the grief is always with you, but how you live your life around it changes. Did you find that the 27th of November was a difficult time for you, or did you feel like you were passing through another stage of the process?
I felt I was. You see, the first year, you have to face your first Christmas, if that, depending on the time. You have to face the first birthday, the first wedding anniversary, the first, you know, grandchild's birthday. You know, all, you have, those are kind of big signal things in your life. And, you know, even the grandchildren would say, oh, granddad would love that, or it'd be pity he's not here. And those are difficult. And I think it gets must get a little easier when you move into the second year. But the first year is very poignant with all those kind of memories hitting you and the practicalities. And people are very good. I mean, I'm amazed at the number of people who texted me and some sent me nice flowers and that, just remembering the first anniversary.
Lovely.
And it's nice to know that there are people remembering, okay. Remembering Brian and remembering us, the family, and to the people who are grieving as well, facing a first anniversary. Because Claire, there's thousands of people facing first anniversaries this 2021 that didn't expect it at all, particularly of the younger people who died with COVID. And they weren't expecting to be having a first anniversary in 2021, but they have to find something that gives them a little bit of comfort. They may be, you know, they may like walking the dog, they may like going for a swim. So many people are going for swims. And the other thing that I missed, because Brian loved it, was the cinema. And of course the cinemas were all shut for a lot of the time.
That's
so
right.
There wasn't even the comfort of going to see a picture, you know.
Well, at least that's something that you can hopefully enjoy now for another while to come. Nora, I really think that your words today will help people who are going through a similar experience, and I'm really grateful to you for talking to us.
Thank you, Claire. And I just say to the people who are kind of a bit cross about some of the shutdown stuff, just remember there are people who've actually lost loved ones and they are facing a different kind of upset.
Okay.
And just be a little bit gentle when you're on the radio giving out about things.
Good advice to all of us.
Thanks, Claire.
Nora,
thank
you very much. And if you're listening and if you feel like you might need some support, check out our website rte.ie/helplines.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.